Good morning and welcome to the West Valley News Digest. Today is Saturday, April 4th, 2026. I'm Karen Kelly, your volunteer reader. I'll be starting out with news from the West Valley View, which covers Buckeye, Avondale, Goodyear, and Tolleson. I will then read from the Wickenburg Sun, and at the bottom of the hour, I'll be covering news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise. So let's get started with news from westvalleyview.com. Our first article up is entitled, Tolleson Union High School District Breaks Ground on Training and Learning Center, written by Joshua Fenty, West Valley View staff writer. The Tolleson Union High School District, TUHSD, recently broke ground on an 82,000 square foot training and learning center, creating a new permanent home for various departments and debuting a new family resource center. Governing Board Vice President Devin Del Palacio expressed excitement for the new facility, saying that it would provide spaces, programs, and services that students and staff truly deserve. This is what it looks like when you invest in public education and when you support our bond campaigns. These are our community dollars at work, Del Palacio said. We're on our way to be an A district, and that only happens when we're able to provide the resources necessary for our staff to be able to deliver the best quality of service to our students, who are our most important asset in the district. Our dedicated staff deserve this space. Our community deserves this space, and our students deserve this space. The Training and Learning Center will consist of two buildings, with the larger of the two housing the Family Resource Center. While TUHSD is home to many programs and services to offer clothing, food assistance, and other support to its students and families, Superintendent Jeremy Callis explained that this facility will offer the broadest range of assistance on a scale greater than what was previously available. The Family Resource Center is going to have some big spaces to it, which is going to allow us to take in those larger donations and have a place to house them while we find the family that needs the resource the most, Caius said. When the families need things, we want to be a support for them. If they're missing a refrigerator, they need a new oven, or their air conditioning unit went out. Slated to stay open all day and into the evening, the Resource Center will offer a demo kitchen for teaching families how to cook affordable, healthy meals and a built-in library. According to the superintendent, there will be opportunities for collaboration with St. Mary's Food Bank for food distribution and continued efforts with one of the district's partner nonprofit organizations, Callahan Care. In light of overcrowding at the current district office, various departments will relocate to the Training and Learning Center, Caius said, once the facility opens in spring of 2027. Both Human Resources and the Office of Learning and Academic Success, OLAS, are included in district staff that will work in the new space. With the various conference rooms and proximity to the Western Maricopa Education Center, West MEC, the superintendent expects more opportunities for collaboration with the neighboring educational institution for the future. The other smaller building will house the district's Distance Learning Academy and its teachers. According to Superintendent Jeremy Caius, all of the teachers who will work in this space will be afforded private office spaces. DLR Group and Root Architects worked together on the design for the building, whereas McCarthy Building Companies will handle the construction. According to officials from the district, architects and general contractor alike, CUHSD teachers and staff were consulted multiple times throughout the design process in order to draft a plan that would best suit their needs, involving face-to-face conversations and various surveys. The groundbreaking ceremony unfolded on March 27th, inviting TUHSD district students, teachers, and staff, as well as representatives from DLR Group, Root Architects, and McCarthy to celebrate the beginning of the project. Glendale City Council Member Diana Guzman, TUHSD Governing Board President Stephen Chapman, and Board Member Lisa Sun were in attendance as well. Public education is the last frontier of equality for any members of our society. It's no longer just an educational institution, Sun said. It's the educational institution that we need to hold dear for the sake of democracy and liberty. With construction on the Training and Learning Center officially underway, Superintendent Caius expressed gratitude to the community for helping realize the project. The community takes good care of us, and we don't take that for granted, he said. We do our best to then use those resources to take good care of our community. And that concludes the article entitled, TUHSD Breaks Ground on Center. Our next article is entitled, Goodyear Approves of Annual Public Art Plan, written by Jimmy Van Wickler, West Valley View staff writer. The Goodyear City Council unanimously approved the fiscal year 2027 annual public art plan, a program that adds new pieces to the city's public art inventory while maintaining and preserving existing works. It is a historic one, said David Side, interim Parks and Recreation Director. The Arts and Culture Division was established by Council in 2006 to create a distinct sense of place and cultural destination by integrating art into spaces and places. The city is approaching the 20th anniversary of the Public and Performing Arts Ordinance. The ordinance created the Arts and Culture Division and Commission to integrate art into public spaces and cultivate a local cultural identity. The division manages the Public Art Fund, supports projects, and promotes arts education and community events. For nearly 20 years, you and councils before you have enriched the lives of our residents and visitors by supporting art and culture in our city, said Nancy Love, chair of the Arts and Culture Commission. As a resident and a commissioner, I am sincerely grateful for your support, so thank you. The Arts and Culture Division oversees the city's public art program and coordinates with private sector partners, as well as other government agencies. Side said the division also works to increase awareness of the role arts and culture play in Goodyear's economy and overall quality of life. I'm lucky enough to work closely with our Arts and Culture Commission to help advance arts and culture and create a sense of place here in Goodyear, said Lane Ruiz, Arts and Culture Coordinator. The Commission's goals include driving economic growth, expanding access to the arts, advancing public art, and building what officials describe as a culture of art in the community. According to Love, the Commission is working on 12 public art projects across 22 locations in the current fiscal year. The Arts, Culture, and Events team has hosted 20 special events and offers more than 50 multi-generational arts programs. Funding for projects completed or underway this fiscal year totals $2,153,000. We are thankful for the great partnerships we have with local art organizations as well as educational institutions to help make all of these projects possible, Love said. For fiscal years 2027 through 2031, the Commission aims to place artwork in high-traffic outdoor public spaces. The recommended funding level for all temporary art projects is about $35,000. Temporary or ephemeral art is designed to exist for a limited time before being removed, dismantled, or allowed to decay. Two proposed projects for the upcoming fiscal year include HOLA, West Valley Temporary Art, and Pop-Ups in the Park. These installations activate public spaces and create moments of surprise and delight throughout the city, Ruiz said. Temporary art also provides opportunities for community participation, partnerships, and pilot programs, helping us understand what resonates with our residents. Of the 6 recommended projects, one is a permanent installation at Fire Station 188's police substation with proposed funding of $235,000. The project aims to integrate artwork into the facility's architecture. According to Ruiz, the goal is to enhance the environment for staff and visitors while creating a lasting connection between public safety and the community it serves. The remaining 5 projects focus on maintenance and conservation of existing artwork, with recommended funding of $127,000. Plans include refurbishing pieces such as Ziz and the Heart of Goodyear, and engaging local artists to decorate 10 traffic signal cabinets. I remember then Councilmember Joe Pizzillo was the advocate for the traffic cabinets, and we started out with 12. To see we are at 62 is really remarkable, said Councilmember Laura Kano. The quality of art just continues to be exceptional. Before the council voted, Ruiz outlined future projects under consideration which aim to drive economic growth, expand public art at city facilities, enhance recreation experiences, and build community. City council members also expressed support for the Arts and Culture Commission before unanimously approving the plan. I'd like to see the budget doubled if we could, said Vice Mayor Brandon Hampton. It is a direct line to economic development. It brings more people to the area, more community spaces to gather, and it identifies us as a different city. And that concludes the article, Goodyear Approves of Annual Public Art Plan. Let's continue. Our next article is Avondale Faces Finances in Budget Preview, written by Joshua Fenty, West Valley View staff writer. The Avondale City Council recently reviewed its budget for fiscal year 2027, detailing the fiscal impact of the Santan Valley Incorporation, the city's current financial standing, and a 5-year forecast that shows expenditures outpacing revenue for the near future. To help make up the difference, Finance Director Renee Weatherless said the city can rely on reserve funding, with $101.9 million currently available above the city's required stabilization level for fiscal year 25. You can see that the balance is paying for those years where our expenditures are outpacing revenue, Weatherless said. As we talk through the decisions for the FY27 budget, one thing to note is that $1 million in 2031 is really one-time dollars. If there was an adjustment to our fiscal year 27 budget, for an ongoing expense, $1 today is $5 off that total. A budget total for this year was not mentioned during the meeting, though the budget adopted for fiscal year 26 totaled $486.6 million. Current financial position, priorities, and 5-year forecast. Following fiscal year 27, the city's ongoing expenses are expected to exceed ongoing revenue for the general fund. In fiscal year 28, the forecast predicts ongoing revenue to reach $122.6 million, approximately $3 million less than ongoing expenses for the same year. The trend continues through fiscal year 2030, when the gap narrows to about $1 million, with a projected $134 million in ongoing revenue, before ongoing expenses become less than revenues once more in fiscal year 31. The presentation includes a graph that depicts the steady decline of the general fund balance through fiscal year 31, where it shrinks to just under $1 million. Among the city's priorities for fiscal year 27, parks and recreation and services and personnel were particularly emphasized. In order to fund many of the parks and recreation projects the city has planned, it will need to issue general obligation bonds, authorizing up to $68 million. Additionally, the city will need to finance the wastewater treatment plant expansion, PFAS, treatment and Bartlett Dam. The city's forecasted expenditures include various compensation increases, including $1.1 million in cost of living adjustments, $700,000 in merit increases, and $2.2 million in public safety adjustments, covering Avondale PD, the fire department MOU, and other factors. Additionally, the draft proposes the addition of 7.5 full-time equivalents, FTEs, for fiscal year 27, cost neutral. Parks lifeguards, four positions in public works, and a half-time park specialist. Two positions, a security officer and a senior planner, are being held vacant to generate savings, though staff requested that council not eliminate the slots entirely in case circumstances change. Hiring staff for the Southern Avondale Public Safety Station is set to begin fiscal year 28. According to Weatherless, due to strain on the general fund, increases in Avondale's transit costs will be funded from dedicated sales tax instead. For fiscal year 27, various departments have reallocated $3.7 million to contribute to other priorities and requests. Overall, the operating budget for fiscal year 27 is divided into 37% of general government expenditures. 32% goes to public safety, 13% to utilities, 11% to community services, 6% to community and economic development, and 1% to streets and transportation services. For fiscal year 27 specifically, the proposed budget assumes that the city will not proceed with the 2% allowable increase to the property tax rate. Fiscal impact of Santan Valley incorporation. Due to the incorporation of Santan Valley, the city projects that it will lose $667,000 from its general fund, as well as $143,000 in highway user revenue fund, HERF, and $880,000 anticipated loss of revenue in tax conformity. While beyond the city's control, the losses directly contribute to the revenue shortfall outlined in the city's five-year forecast. Planned budget reductions. In response to the projected losses in the coming years, the draft budget outlines major cuts to various departments and efforts throughout the city, the city manager's office, city auditor, parks, fire and medical, police department, and others. Additionally, staff requested council direction on the possibility of reducing city council discretionary spending by $1,000 per member. For Mayor Pineda, the ask of other departments to reduce their budgets while not reducing the council's is unfair, noting that he couldn't look any of the directors or departments in the face. "We need to eat these budget cuts just as well," the mayor said. "I can't see how any council member would disagree that we would reduce our budget just as you've been asked to reduce yours." The FY27 budget includes sweeping reductions across multiple city departments, with cuts targeting travel, training, events, landscaping, and administrative operations. Parks will see some of the biggest impacts, including the removal of 9 event dates and a shift to biweekly mowing at several locations, while the fire and medical department is scaling back paramedic training slots to pre-pandemic levels, a move staff said is manageable given current staffing. Other notable reductions include $200,000 recovered by passing credit card processing fees to users, an $18,000 cut to youth advisory travel after no students participated this year, and a $15,600 trim in marketing. Following this initial review, the drafted budget is set to return in April, with tentative adoption in May and a final budget vote in June. City Manager Corbin reminded the council that no decisions made during the work session are set in stone. "This is a draft budget, so we are really seeking input from council," Corbin said. "We'll bring back a recommended budget in April. If we put in, we take out. And if we take out, we have capacity to put back in. And that's all the time we have for the article entitled Avondale Faces Finances in Budget Preview. And that concludes news from westvalleyview.com. You can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Now, let's move on to news from the Wickenburg Sun. First up is WSD OK's 1% salary bump for employees employed during 2025-2026 school year. Article by Taylor Schwartz Olson, reporter. The Wickenburg Unified School District Governing Board approved during their latest meeting a 1% salary increase for all employees who were employed during the 2025-26 school year. The approval was part of the board's consent agenda. And according to information on the agenda, the increase will apply to the 2026-27 school year and will be added to employees' base salaries. The increase applies to all employee groups, including administration, certified, and classified staff. According to staff, a review of WUSD's fiscal year 2025 budget indicates that the district can sustain this 1%, with the estimated maintenance and operation cost for increased wages and benefits being $80,050. Additionally, as part of the district's faithful service benefit, which grants employees who have worked at the district for over 15 years a pay raise based on their position and base salary, one employee is eligible for a raise. For certified teachers, the benefit is a raise of 1% of the current base salary times the years of service with the district. For classified personnel, the raise is 1% of the current Step 1 salary of the individual's position on the hiring schedule times the years of service with the district. Finally, for certified administrators, the raise is 2.5% of the current base salary for teachers times the years of service with the district. Denise Bergman, accounts manager at the WUSD business office, has been with the district for 21 years and will receive the benefit following the board's approval. And this concludes the article, WUSD OK's 1% salary bump for employees employed during the 2025-2026 school year. The next article is Behind the Scenes in Wickenburg, Information Technology. In the quiet desert town of Wickenburg, where the mornings start with golden sunrises and the evenings settle into a calm stillness, there's a small but mighty team working behind the scenes to keep everything running smoothly, the IT department. Most residents never see them, but they feel their work every day when they check out a book at the library, call 911, pay a utility bill online, or watch a plane land safely at the airport. Recently, the department welcomed a new leader, Jack Moore, whose background in project management and business process improvement has already started shaping the team's direction. From day one, Jack made it clear he wouldn't be doing this work alone. Working alongside him is Gabriel Schaefer, the town's information technology technician, his right hand in keeping Wickenburg connected and operational. Together, they form a lean but highly effective team, balancing day-to-day troubleshooting with long-term planning. In his first team conversations, Jack shared his enthusiasm for artificial intelligence, calling it one of the most impactful inventions of our time and a tool that will change how work gets done, helping staff streamline tasks, improve service, and focus on what matters most. On any given day, Jack and Gabriel are pulled in a dozen directions. At the police department, they ensure dispatch systems are online, body camera footage uploads correctly, and officers can access critical data in real time. Over at the fire department, they support emergency response software and communication system that must work flawlessly when seconds matter. At the airport, they maintain network connectivity for operations, ensuring everything from fuel systems to weather data runs without interruption. Back at town hall, the duo powers the everyday functions residents rely on: email systems, finance software, public records, and online services. At the library, they keep computers running for students, job seekers, and lifelong learners, troubleshooting everything from printing issues to Wi-Fi access. And in public works, they support systems that track infrastructure, water usage, and ongoing projects, helping crews stay efficient in the Arizona heat. Jack has already started digging into one of his top priorities, evaluating all technology purchases across departments. With Gabriel's hands-on knowledge of the town's systems, they are reviewing what tools are in place, how they're being used, and where improvements can be made. Their goal is simple but impactful: make sure every investment in technology is intentional, efficient, and beneficial to the community. As the sun sets over Wickenburg and the town winds down, the IT department doesn't really stop. Systems continue running, alerts are monitored, and updates are quietly pushed in the background. And with Jack Moore and Gabriel Schaefer working side by side, combining innovation, practicality, and a bit of forward thinking, the technology in Wickenburg looks not just functional, but stronger than ever. And this concludes the article, Behind the Scenes in Wickenburg, Information Technology. Next up, obituaries. William Bill Bradley Park passed away February 13. Thomas Lee Richmeyer passed away March 25. Jackie Coombs passed away March 23. Kevin Eugene Rex passed away February 28. Charles Eugene Gene Campbell passed away February 12th. Next up, This Week in Wickenburg History. 70 years ago, April 6, 1956, Sun publishers by building lot. The Wickenburg office of the Valley National Bank is growing along with the community it serves so well. That calls for expansion. The bank plans to take over the building that adjoins its present quarters on Frontier Street. The bank owns the building, which has been the home of the Wickenburg Sun for the past 12 years. Faced with the necessity of finding new quarters for their newspaper, office, and plant, John and Bernice McCarroll are completing negotiations for the purchase of a building site on Washington Street from Mr. and Mrs. Ira Rice. The 50 by 140-foot lot lies between the Santa Fe Railroad Water Tower and the parking lot of the Brailer Clinic. 40 years ago, April 3, 1986, former district superintendent dead at 61. Wickenburg Unified School District flags were flown at half-mast starting Tuesday in tribute to former superintendent Dr. James Randall, 61. Who died Monday in Wickenburg Community Hospital after a year's battle with cancer. Randall resigned in early August after his extended illness for 2 months kept him from superintendent's duties, which began in July 1980 in Wickenburg. He had developed the first middle school system in the United States, spending 11 years as a teacher and 20 years as an administrator in Connecticut, New York, and Arizona. We'll finish up today with some chamber news. So let's see what we have here. We have Coffee and Contacts. The Wickenburg Chamber of Commerce will host Coffee and Contacts on April 22nd at 8:30 a.m. The host and guest speaker is UMB, located at 2001 West Wickenburg Way. Attendees can enjoy refreshments, meet local professionals, and build business connections. We also have Business After Hours Mixer. The next Business After Hours Mixer will take place April 23rd from 5:30 to 7 p.m., hosted by Flying E Ranch. The event will be held at 2801 West Wickenburg Way in Wickenburg. Attendees are invited to network and connect with the community. And last, we have Community DocuShed Event. A community DocuShed event will be held April 29th from 9 a.m. to noon at the Wickenburg Chamber of Commerce, 216 North Frontier Street in Wickenburg. Pricing for non-members, $10 for Banker Box. Chamber members, first box $8, each additional box $8. Community members can safely dispose of sensitive documents and protect personal information. The event is open to the public. And that concludes news from the Wickenburg Sun. Remember, you can take Sun Sounds with you. You can get our stream and on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. I'm Karen Kelly, and you're listening to the West Valley News Digest on Sun Sounds of Arizona. For the remaining time, I'll be reading news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise from yourvalley.net, as well as the online editions of the Glendale, Peoria, Surprise Independence, and the Glendale Star and Peoria Times. Our article is Deer Valley School Removes Registered Sex Offender from Campus Event, article by Steve Stockmar. Deer Valley Unified School District officials acted quickly to remove a registered sex offender who attended a PTSO-sponsored dance at Highlands Lakes School in Glendale on Friday. The district identified the individual as a parent in the community of the K-8 school. Deer Valley Unified issued a statement on the matter at Highland Lakes, 19,000 North 63rd Avenue. After receiving information from a parent, whose communication we appreciate, a Highlands Lakes staff member notified school administration that a registered sex offender who is also a parent in the school community was in attendance, the statement read. This individual attended the event without the school's prior knowledge or authorization. Following consultation with the district's office to ensure all protocols were followed, the individual was escorted from the premises. The situation from the time the parent approached administration to the time the person was escorted off the campus was 12 minutes, the district said. The district added that it fully cooperated with the Glendale Police Department. It's unclear if law enforcement took any action against the individual. Principal Amanda Hicks also sent a letter to Highland Lakes parents. Individuals with this designation are not permitted to attend school events or be on campus in this capacity, the letter states. The safety of our students and community remains our highest priority. We are taking this matter seriously and are following all appropriate next steps, including working in coordination with the Glendale Police Department and our district office. School policy states all visitors must sign in at the office and wear a visitor tag while at school. And this concludes the article. Deer Valley School Removes Registered Sex Offender from Campus Event. Our next article is entitled, Sunrise Mountain Library Will Have Limited Hours. Sunrise Mountain Library will have limited hours April 6th through 9th. During that time, crews will be replacing AC units in the building. The library will open 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. Monday, April 6th to Thursday, April 9th. The library resumes regular hours Friday, April 10th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. For more information, visit www.peoriaaz.gov/library. Click on Library Announcements for more information. For questions, call Sunrise Mountain Library at 623-773-8650. This concludes the article, Sunrise Mountain Library Will Have Limited Hours. The next article is entitled, Lakeside Bar and Grill to Host Pet Adoption Event in Peoria. In honor of National Adopt a Shelter Pet Day on Thursday, April 30th, locally owned restaurant group POV Foods is partnering with animal rescue organizations to host pet-friendly adoption events and fundraisers at several of its Arizona restaurants, all known for welcoming dogs on their patios. At Lakeside Bar and Grill in Peoria, the celebration takes place from 5 to 7 p.m. with a special yappy hour hosted on the restaurant's dog-friendly patio. Guests can meet adoptable pets while enjoying the neighborhood sports bar relaxed atmosphere. Dogs in attendance will receive a free item from the restaurant's tail wagger menu, and 20% of sales during the event will be donated to the participating rescue organization. Similar events will also take place at 32 Shea in North Phoenix, as well as Red, White, and Brew in Prescott. Each event invites guests to meet adoptable pets, support local rescue groups, and enjoy food and drinks while spending time with their four-legged friends. Each location's patio is designed with pups in mind, featuring artificial turf areas and playful toy fire hydrants where dogs can relax alongside their owners. "Pets have always been part of the experience on our patios," said Janeth Moore, Vice President of Operations for POV Foods. "We wanted these spaces to feel just as welcoming for dogs as they are for their owners." And that concludes the article, Lakeside Bar and Grill to Host Pet Adoption Event in Peoria. Our next article is coming from the Surprise Independent, entitled Surprise Teacher Helps Students Entertain the Masses, by Independent News Media. The Surprise Independent periodically features a different educator in our city. This week, the spotlight falls on Sunset Hills Elementary School music teacher and choir and theater director, Randall Badsgard. The town and neighborhood he is from is Sierra, Montana, and Sarah Ann Ranch, Surprise Farms area. Question: what is your title and occupation? Music teacher, choir, and theater director. Question: what school do you work at? Sunset Hills Elementary School. Question: how long have you worked here? 19 years. Question: what are you excited about on your campus and in your department, and why? The theater arts program is well established, now in its 11th year, and each year features a huge school-wide musical production involving almost 100 students from grades kindergarten through 8th grade. Performances have been featured at the Vista Center for the Arts for several years. Every February, we are currently in final rehearsals for this year's show and are the result of parents and community members donating their talents, hobbies, and passions. Hair and makeup design, construction, costuming, sewing, theater technology, marketing, volunteerism, etc., for the benefit of our young actors and actresses. Our choir programs are supported similarly by parents, families, and community members and entities to provide performance opportunities near and far for our young singers. Bringing music into the lives of young students is so important, but the best part for me is being able to effectively rally the school and surrounding community to provide a truly elevated scholastic and arts experience for its students by building from the community around them. Question: what do you like most about your job? Providing extraordinary performing arts opportunities for young students through mobilization of and creative partnerships with parents, families, staff members, and the surrounding community, and then seeing those students take a high level of ownership to grow as performers while building a positive, supportive culture. Question: if you could pick another occupation, what would it be? Pilot: I've always wanted to learn to fly. Question: when and why you moved here? In 2011, to raise my family in a growing neighborhood with great schools. Question: where did you live prior to moving? Buckeye. Question: what do you like most about living here? The family-oriented nature of a growing community, development within the city, and close, but not too close, to the wide variety of activities and entertainment offered in the Phoenix area. Question: favorite community cause and why? All: autism, life, and living. Because as an educator, I see such a great need for increased supports of those within the population. Question: what are your interests and hobbies? Supporting the performing arts in all its forms: concerts, theatrical productions, etc. Hiking and biking, travel, and good food with my wife. Question: describe one of the happiest moments in your life. Watching my kids be successful in things they enjoy, of course, but quietly proposing to my wife in Disneyland was downright magical. Question: What is your best and worst habit? Best, creative problem solving. I love being challenged and working towards solutions. Worst, taking on too much, but I'm getting better at prioritizing and delegating. Question: What traits do you admire in others? Honesty, integrity, and kindness. Question: Who is a person that inspires you and why? My kids. They make me want to be the best person I can be every day. Question: What is your guiding philosophy? Do the most good for the most kids that I can. And the last question is, what is your advice for today's youth? I know it sounds cliche, but doing these things are the leaping point to a fulfilled life. Be a good person and be true to yourself. And that concludes the article, Surprise Teacher Helps Students Entertain the Masses. Let's continue. Our next article is coming from the Glendale Star, entitled Glendale Weighs Shooting Range and Budget Strain, written by Joshua Fenty, staff writer. Glendale City Council recently conducted its third of four budget workshops, where the challenge of funding a $20 to $30 million shooting range became a topic of discussion. The project comes as the council considers increasing public safety spending while borrowing capacity continues to shrink. I think it would be crazy for us to say, no, we don't want to do it. We want to wait 5 or 6 years to decide if we want to do it or not, Mayor Jerry Wire said, speaking in favor of including the project as a placeholder in the Capital Improvement Plan, CIP. I would work my tail off to make sure a bond passed to help with this. I feel our officers should be as proficient as possible. We're talking about rising water rates, increased trash costs, and at the same time, we lost the operations campus bond election by 12 votes, Councilmember Lupe Conscious said. The Cactus District residents are asking for more officers for speed enforcement, for safer streets, for cleaner neighborhoods, and investments in services they rely on every day. Right now, this is about priorities, and I cannot, in good conscience, support a project of this size when so many of our needs are unmet. Debate amongst council members commenced after staff asked for direction on how to move forward with the proposed indoor shooting range, with council member Lauren Tolmachoff raising early concerns about the cost. In addition to the $20 to $30 million required to build the facility, the presentation estimates operating costs to range from $500,000 to $800,000 annually. According to the presentation, the city will have about $99.7 million in remaining public safety borrowing capacity in fiscal year 26-27, but that amount is projected to decline significantly in the following years and fall into the negative beginning in fiscal year 29-30. The same trend appears across several other bond-funded categories, including streets, parks, government facilities, cultural facilities, and libraries, where available borrowing capacity is also projected to be exhausted as early as fiscal year 27-28 in some cases. Tolmachoff explained that she didn't feel that it was appropriate to have the item as a placeholder when clearly there's no money for it in the next fiscal year or the four following. We don't have the money for the projects we already told the voters we were going to do, the council member said. We're spending down our authority on public safety, and we're going to be down to $18 million, which is not going to be enough to do this. We've already been a leader in a regional approach to public safety training, and now we're using the same approach that was one of the reasons that the forensics lab has been delayed. Tolmachoff suggested pursuing a regional approach with cost-sharing options, reaching out to other cities to assess the viability of a regional facility. Overall, the two major points of the argument were that the shooting range would allow Glendale police officers to train more consistently, ultimately improving their performance and therefore public safety. Conversely, others question whether the government can realistically deliver on the project as funds become tighter. Komachoff and other council members suggested that the funding could also be used to prioritize hiring more public safety personnel rather than introducing new training facilities. After the remaining council members, city manager and assistant city manager had a chance to weigh in, the council resolved to include the project as a placeholder in fiscal year 2028, while staff devises a plan for funding the project. The project is not guaranteed to come to fruition, but as a placeholder, it will remain a priority in the CIP. The initial funding options staff recommended for the indoor shooting range, including using existing general obligation bond authority for public safety, or dividing the cost between general obligation bond authority and debt service payments, offset by revenue generated from the range. The city could also choose to excise tax revenue bonds or fund the project with a combination of debt and general fund. For fiscal year 2026 to 2027, the city's total budget across all funds is $713 million, where the general fund operating budget by function is $341 million. Police and fire services make up $150 million and $70 million, respectively, or 44% and 21%, representing nearly two-thirds of the city's general fund. One of the budget's highlights emphasized in the staff presentation included the addition of 28.5 FTEs, full-time equivalents, accounting for six temporaries to permanent parks positions, 4.5 contract to permanent court security officers, 8 police department cops grant police officers, 1 temporary to permanent HR position, and 2 contract to permanent IT positions. Other budget highlights include no property tax increase, a focus on employee recruitment and retention, and no charge associated with risk management and workers' compensation trust fund. With one final budget workshop remaining on Tuesday, April 28, the council will continue working towards tentative and final budget adoption. And with that, that concludes the article entitled Glendale Weighs Shooting Range Amid Budget Strain. Our next article comes from the Peoria Times, and it's called Member Spotlight Next Health by Peoria Chamber. If you've been thinking about taking better care of your health, this is the perfect time to start. Next Health is bringing a new level of wellness to the West Valley with a personalized, proactive approach designed to help you feel your best every day, not just when something feels off. Their focus is simple: more energy, better recovery, and long-term vitality. What sets Next Health apart is its personalized approach. Advanced testing helps identify what your body truly needs, allowing their team to create a plan tailored specifically to you. Whether your goal is to boost energy, improve performance, or take a more proactive approach to your health, expert guidance is provided every step of the way. Services include cryotherapy, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, sauna and infrared treatments, IV therapy, and other advanced options that support recovery and long-term wellness. Programs for hormone balance and weight optimization are also available through customized physician-guided care. Aesthetic services are also offered, including Botox, fillers, microneedling with skin rejuvenation treatments, all performed by experienced medical professionals. Next Health is located at 23423 North 67th Avenue, Suite 107 in Glendale. For a limited time, secure your founding membership and receive 20% off your monthly rate. Membership includes services such as IV therapy, vitamin shots, cryotherapy, infrared therapy, and more. Call 623-267-3941 or text 844-628-8664 to book your service and take the first step toward feeling your best. And that concludes Member Spotlight, Next Health. And our last article today is Grasshopper Invasion is No Fun at All, article by Judy Bloom. They're back! Yikes! Millions of grasshoppers have been invading Arizona. I didn't really believe it until I saw it for myself. Jiminy Cricket! Dear readers, what I observed was so strange, so frightening, that it could be out of an Alfred Hitchcock movie. I don't want to alarm anyone, but it is pretty scary when you drive into a gas station and see a carpet of grasshoppers on the ground. We witnessed a poor woman pumping gas while literally flicking them out of her hair. She had to run for shelter into her vehicle. I saw people scrambling out of the convenience store swatting the creepy insects. You could hear crunching sounds as people stepped on them. What is going on? I contacted some entomologists who assured me that there is no chance that our state will experience anything like a devastating grasshopper infestation. True, they are out in large numbers and swarms, often drawn to lush landscaping, drip irrigation, and watered lawns. With the combination of past monsoon rain and this month's extreme heat wave, the conditions are perfect for grasshopper breeding. Consequently, the grasshoppers are having a field day, no pun intended. They are generally harmless to humans. Unless, like my friend who just drove her Lexus convertible through the drive-thru to get a coffee, had several grasshoppers jump into her car. Suddenly, they appeared on her coffee cup, the brim of her hat, the dashboard. Coffee spilling all over the leather seats while screaming bloody murder is not how you want to start out your day. Who wants to go walking while these critters jump all around you and land in your hair? As a woman jogger said, she spun around in circles trying to untangle crickets from her ponytail and almost ran like a wild woman out into traffic. Yep, bugs can do that to people. When I walk my dog, Teddy, he is very annoyed by the little beasts and tries to eat them if they get too close. Don't do it, Teddy. My late husband, Doug, persuaded me to try a fried grasshopper while we were on vacation one time. Well, Doug was game for anything. He said they tasted like shrimp. No, Doug, they tasted like horrible, crunchy insects. Yuck. Sleep well, my friends. No locust infestation is predicted in Arizona, unlike in 1980 when a million acres were destroyed and there were 25 grasshoppers per square yard. Grasshoppers and crickets are cousins and can be pleasant and benign. Locust invasions are grasshoppers who have joined a ruthless gang and eat everything in their path. There's a whole lot of knee-knocking, leg-clanging, and body-slamming going on when you get a few hundred grasshoppers together. They make quite a racket. The situation seems to be settling down. They only live for a brief time. It appears that these pests are leaving Arizona for greener pastures. Isn't there an alcoholic drink called the grasshopper? This might be the fitting time to try it. If it's any good, with no real bugs involved, and you have the recipe, drop me a line. I'll hop right on it. And that concludes the article that's entitled, Grasshopper Invasion is No Fun at All. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining me for the West Valley News Digest. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcast info and audio/on demand. I'm Karen Kelly, your Sun Sounds broadcaster. Please stay tuned for more great programming on Sun Sounds of Arizona.